You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
What's this called?
Here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and Ludafisk.
There's and a show on after mine?
Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawk.
And Matt McNeil. Where the heck were you, man?
Walgreens.
You work in a shift?
I had a prescription to refill, and then it was
It's something that you get to a certain age. It's common with a lot of men. Never mind.
This is very weird. I'm sitting on a different microphone than usual.
You think this is weird? It's 4:06. I'm still sitting here at this radio station.
Says Mr. 259 showing up every day.
Yes. I'm a consummate pro, my friend. Every day.
I know.
Winter snow.
Even the snowiest days, you managed
to just stroll
in right on time.
Yeah, I called my shot, man. I'll tell you what, if you want to go shuffle your briefs, your prescription. If you want to go shuffle your briefs really quick, I got a humdinger of a story here I could talk about.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Tuesday afternoon, Joe, an owner and worker at Seward Community Cafe in Minneapolis, showed up to work after attending a couple of meetings. A talk on border resistance and dismantling immigration detention centers was in progress. Basically, Joe says, a presentation on ICE, and now they're terrible. Joe, who prefers not to share a last name for safety reasons, says the talk wasn't unusual for Seward. The cafe sports some unmistakable progressive overtones. Still, the Facebook event for the talk had been peppered with comments from people suggesting they'd show up at this gay event to knock beta heads. Beta heads? Beta heads. I had a beta back in the 1970s, man. It was just not as good as a VCR. Betamax, right?
Still using that term.
Betas.
I love obsolete technology, though.
If they have a chance, so Joe is very little, someone might start something. Joe is just dilly-dallying when a customer said someone was filming the event and made people uncomfortable. Well, sounds like a Republican. I don't want to remember my community feeling uncomfortable in my business, Joe says. The woman recording the proceedings was quietly asked to join them out back. Here is, once again, your hint of who that was. Yeah, there you go. Daniela Stella, who has vowed to take on Ilhan Omar in the Minnesota 5th District. She apparently was there video. Is this really how you're going to win this district? I don't know. It gets wilder because Joe basically takes her to the back and says, we need you to leave. You're not, this is a private business. And apparently she doesn't understand that Daniela Stella, that private property, you do have to follow private property rules. You can't just kick open the door of a business and go in there and start filming. They have a right to basically boot you off the property.
When did this occur again?
This was Tuesday afternoon.
Wow. So
a day and a half ago. Seeing where this was going, Joe hit up Stella's Instagram account. And sure enough, there was a chain of videos from Stella's visit to the cafe. Hey, everybody, she says in her opening video. Antifa is here in Minneapolis doing a special event. Let's check it out and see what they're up to. Follow me. Seriously, that's what she actually wrote. I was followed by a few videos at the presentation inside, mostly patrons quietly watching a couple of speakers describing their interactions with migrant and border patrol over FaceTime. There is a video of Joe confronting Stella in the parking lot. I had to ask you right what I was doing wrong, Stella says, hidden behind the camera. You don't have any right to stay in my business, Joe answers. As a small business owner, I can ask you to leave when I want you to leave. The video ends shortly after that. The next time we see Stella, she's in the car facing the camera. Randomly, this one lady came up and said that she needed to talk to me, Stella says, apparently mistaking Joe's gender. She brought me back to the back area where her and a bunch of guys, in fact, she later said there were 25 guys that were Antifa who were wearing riot gear just like in D.C. to kick her out of Seward Cafe.
Jesus Christ. It seems like the conservatives are the only one that ever spot Antifa.
You can't see these guys in the video. Joe says there may not have been, they might not have even been 25 men total at the entire event. There's second of the one of the other person standing in the background, and there's one male sounding voice that asked Stella to stop recording at one point. But it's hard to say from the footage who was with them in the parking lot. Stella did include a few blurry pictures of people in hoodies and bandanas in her posts. One of the Antifa men had a baseball bat. The other had a cattle prod, she continues. They decided to give me 30 seconds, and they also threatened to call the police on me. Okay, let me get this right. The guys who are threatening you with a baseball bat and a cattle prod, then all of a sudden are willing to call law enforcement? Because
yeah, I know.
Okay, collectively, let's all do the face plant. One, two, three.
Oy.
Oh, God. Your plan was so perfect until logic decided to step on in.
Boom, 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 boom.
She said she was not being disrupted and nothing in the event description that she could not record the event. And Antifa sucks! A bunch of losers is what that you are. Good. She is really putting on the charm for this Minnesota 5 race, isn't she? It wasn't long before a bunch of commentators on Instagram started agreeing with her. Wow, that's good. You know, let's be honest. I'm betting a lot of guys thinking they have a chance with her.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. I like what?
No, no, I was going to say, that reminds me of Sarah Palin back in 08. Oh, how many guys liked her that were concerned?
Were those Mitch McConnell kids?
The guys that like Mitch McConnell? My God, you're into turtles? I'm going to Galapagos. Why? Sex!
They're just gooberist young Republicans.
Did I just suggest people were going to Galapagos for sex? Yes. yes. All right. I think it's time for you to take over your own dang show. I think
thank you for that.
How punchy I get in the four. So
that was good content, though. I love the Stella stories.
All right. You're going to take it from that seat, or you want to come over here?
I can fill for a few seconds here, Hunter. Yeah. If you guys pull a little musical chairs there.
All right. I'm out of here. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks again there, Matt. Hey, as a reminder, coming up later in the show, we are going to be giving away a pair of tickets to the Ordway show, Capital Steps, that takes place tomorrow. We have one more pair to give away. One more, your last chance to win those free tickets. We'll be giving those away at some point during this hour. Hunter Haas is going to surprise us on when we're giving away.
Yeah, so stay tuned. We got a lot of good stuff coming along, but I always love a little Stella story to kick things off. Thank you, Matt, for that. I actually tried to get Danielle Stella before she was in the news for, because it was about 2 weeks ago where that shoplifting story came to light. And that was really when she started getting some spotlight and national prominence. But about a month or two prior, I just stumbled upon her on Twitter and saw that she was running against Ilhan Omar. And I'm like, this would be a good person to sit down and talk with, because I really thought it was a just nothing campaign at that point, that it was more of a just person going at it. Like we had one person declare they were running for president on this show, a caller from San Francisco who I don't believe even listened to the program before, but was just calling around radio stations saying that he's running for president.
That wasn't our buddy David in San Francisco.
No. Okay. He is a legit listener. This was a guy who had lost his school board election and decided that he was going to use the same platform but run for president. So cheers to him. Actually, that Brad from Robbinsdale bumper we have saying that he's not running for president was from that day, because people are just declaring left and right they were running.
You still beat me to having the first announcement on the show. I tried to get you announced that you were going to run for state senate, and you didn't take the bait.
No, but nevertheless, I thought it was her candidacy was more like that, and then national news started picking up on it, and I was like, shoot, I wish I would have scheduled that, because that would have been great content. But Danielle Stella, best of luck in her attempts to unseat Ilhan Omar for CD5's congressional seat. She'll need a lot of luck. But today, I wanted to talk about a couple of things. Some prominent Democrats have been on some notable podcasts lately, and I wanted to kind of talk about their appearances. And I think, though, let's take a quick break and reset. Get in the mode, because we are going to be looking into some moods with one of these candidates. So we'll be right back in the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Do you suffer from anxiety about the current state of politics? Are you confused or easily angered by the president?
It's my party and I'll lie if I want to, lie if I want to.
Do you have an overwhelming feeling that something is going terribly wrong with the country, but don't know if Democrats are the answer?
Chuck, if you just stick with me, with Democrats, we'll quickly see.
Seize defeat from jaws of victory.
Tax and spend.
Join us then.
We will screw it up.
You can't control what happens in Washington, D.C., but you can take command over how it affects you by coming to see the Capitol Steps. The Capitol Steps can provide relief from political anxiety disorder. So ask your doctor if the Capitol Steps are right for you. The Capitol Steps. They put the muck in democracy.
Capitol Steps brings their show to the Ordway on Friday, August 9th at 7:30. Purchase tickets at ordway.org. That's ordway.org.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens is the first green cemetery in Minnesota. It's a beautiful, peaceful place where burials are celebrations of life with as little impact on the environment as possible. Tony Weber founded it because he wants to leave a green legacy for his grandchildren, something many of us might feel. Learn more. Visit the website mngreengraves.com. Give them a call. The goal is so meaningful, so positive, it might be right for you. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice, Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson on a fabulous Thursday afternoon on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And about that first story Matt talked about, Antifa seems to only come out when it's notable Republicans or conservatives and no one else to spot them. It's kind of like the WB frog. They seem to just hide whenever a normal person. When there's a Fox News pundit, they seem to witness all of the Antifa attacks.
They're honestly like the new Bigfoot for conservatives.
Exactly. Exactly. I know I've had people in my life complaining about Antifa, and I go, wait, have you ever encountered one of these people? And they're like, well, no, but it happens. I watch the news. It happens.
Bigfoot, see?
Bigfoot. Yes.
You got to get some grainy photos of people and just say they're Antifa.
Yeah, or we could doctor up Matt's logo and have a face mask.
Yeah. Got to be really blurry, though.
So Antifa, I'm not convinced that they are that prominent. But yes, some 2020 hopefuls have appeared on a pair of podcasts this week, and it is pretty interesting what resulted on both of these shows. So Bernie Sanders made an appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience, and Joe Rogan is really one of the largest platforms in media nowadays. I would kind of equate him to the modern Larry King at this point, and he has a very large audience of straight white men, and I don't even mean that in a negative way. It's a very big platform that is influential to that demographic of people. And Bernie came on the Joe Rogan Experience, and Joe Rogan gets a lot of flack for contributing to the intellectual dark web. These right-wing pundits like Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro, Sam Harris, and Dave Rubin, among others, of these kind of new media figures that have a anti-social justice narrative and generally right-wing ideology and leanings. And Joe Rogan kind of gives these guys a frequent platform, which that is dangerous. And Joe Rogan's been criticized for not giving the left as much time as the right. But Joe Rogan himself is actually a liberal. He's said he's never voted for a Republican in his life, and has people that he thinks are intellectually stimulating. So the truth is somewhere in between that. But Bernie Sanders going on this show and being able to speak to a large group of white men that typically don't follow Democratic politics in a positive light and are fed a lot of bad information. A lot of those Antifa attacks are who the Joe Rogan audience are typically getting their news from. The people who put a spotlight on issues like that. So Bernie sat down with Joe for about 3 hours or something. It's a very long show if you've ever watched it. It's a long conversation, which brings some interesting things into light because a lot of eyes on this and celebrities or notable people like this share and get deeper than they're used to, especially a politician, because politicians have their talking points so worked out, rehearsed, and are used to having quick little sound bites. So when you get on something where you're going to be speaking for 3 hours, potentially, some more nuanced things and some original takes can come to light. But what I found interesting was the comments of the podcast were overwhelming that the fans of the Joe Rogan Experience had not thought that this is what Bernie Sanders was, that they had been fed for so long that he was a crazy communist, a old man socialist, and just a far-left radical. But when he started speaking, it diagnosed a lot of the listeners' problems in their everyday life in a way that was kind of reminiscent of Donald Trump, and how Donald Trump effectively communicated to the kind of white male America their problems. He diagnosed the problem of people losing their job and not being paid enough, but did it so with resentment, like pitting people's problems on a group of people. I mean, Trump kicked off his campaign calling Mexicans rapists and murderers. So that's really what carried the rest of the campaign. But compared to Hillary Clinton in that election, Donald Trump was out there talking about jobs a lot more. So people who aren't looking into things at a more microscopic level or digging into details, they hear jobs from one candidate and not another. So for many of the listeners of the show, this was their first real experience of a true progressive speaking to them and what their plans for the country were. And it worked. It resonated with this audience of straight white men predominantly. And I think that that is important to note, because progressive ideas, when people can hear them, understand them, have time to digest them, win in places that the map might not lead you to believe they would win, in rural America, in white America. These are issues for the working class, and the working class is feeling left behind. So when we can speak to those people about how economically we are on their side, it wins. But what do you think, Brett, I'll ask you this. What do you think causes people to vote against their own self-interest to such an extreme level? Because, like, if you consider the South, this solid South used to be all Democratic, and like the South during the New Deal was overwhelmingly supportive of Roosevelt and progressive policies that today's Democratic Party is pursuing, but they vote overwhelmingly Republican nowadays. What do you think causes that?
Well, that's an entirely different scenario right there, because at that point, the Democratic Party was also much different on social issues, which was certainly a big appeal because you had Dixiecrats back mm-hmm. then. But talking about people voting against their own best interest, I don't even think they're realizing they're doing that.
And I don't either. I think that the Republican Party has been effective at selling that they are looking out for those types of people. And I worry that they're going to continue to win in that regard with people like Tucker Carlson. Because if you watch Tucker Carlson talk, he sounds like Bernie Sanders, but in a different framing. And that is really concerning to me. But does that mean that rural areas and the South only care about social issues? I mean, it can't be.
It's not that. It's just they like the way that candidates who primarily are Republican make them feel. It's all about emotion, where mm-hmm. even though Democrats typically have better policies for them, it's the fact they're getting acknowledged by Republicans like Donald Trump. I mean, just look at Trump. He's obviously had horrible policies for farmers, but he goes out and he tweets, "I love you farmers. I'll always back you."
Yeah.
He makes them feel good. And I think part of that is very much an emotional bond that you can have with someone you're voting for, even though they're not necessarily having your best interests in mind.
Hmm. Yeah, that is powerful, to be heard, to
be
understood.
People are emotional beings. They're going to vote for emotion over a policy proposal. That's something that I think Dems struggle with as well, is that people are very emotional. They're not, when they go and vote, most people, I mean, with the exception of people like who listen to AM 950 or even conservative stations who do pay attention, people aren't looking issue by issue saying, where does this guy stand on this person or where does she stand on this issue? They're pretty much going on, well, does this person make me feel good about the country?
Mm-hmm.
It's based on emotion.
And what I don't understand is why, when we have centrist Democrats, do they always run to the center then on economic issues rather than purely social issues? I mean, I know there's examples, but for the most part, when you find centrist Democrats, they are focusing on taxes and more Republican economic agendas. Why isn't there a center that socially has some right tendencies, but economically is all there progressive? Like, to me, there should be some sort of faction of basically Christian leanings, like evangelical Christians who have progressive economic agenda, but they're typical evangelical social policies. I don't know why that has never came to be, because to me, interpreting Christianity and around the world, the political, economic, like fiscally policies of a Christian party would be to the left and would be taking care of the poor, making sure people have housing, making sure that welfare food stamps are available to those who need it. How isn't there any sort of kind of democratic movement to go after the Christian vote economically and socially.
I have kind of an answer right there. This is probably an oversimplification, but it's all about the donor class, because the donor class will always be acceptable of two policies when you oversimplify it like we're talking right now with economics and then social issues. The donor class will always be very left-wing on social issues, but very conservative on economic issues. And what you're talking about is having the exact opposite of someone who's economically liberal and socially conservative. Well, those are typically two things that the donor class doesn't like at all.
And that is the answer to the question, because I do wonder that often. I'm like, how doesn't a movement come about that has these two things? And that does explain it well. What's interesting, though, is that this is an American phenomenon.
But if you put the religious
phenomenon
spin on it, that actually does add a new aspect if you spin it in the way of religion, because then you can get religious folks maybe on board. Like, that's exactly what former Repartee host Doug Padgett is trying to do, trying to awaken the religious left. Yeah, if you spin it in that sense, I think you might be onto something.
Yeah, it's just, to me, there's, of course, wings of progressive Christianity, like Doug Padgett, like our caller on hold, but they typically have a socially left wing agenda as well. Like the progressive Christians I know they're kind of all there. But I've always wondered, why isn't there a mix of this? Because around the rest of the world, the liberal parties are typically the Christian parties. And you have, like in England, they have two left-wing parties. They got the Labour Party, and then they have the Liberal Party. The Liberal, I believe it's called the...
It's the Liberal Democrats, I think.
Yeah. I thought they had, it was like the Christian Democrats. But regardless, it's a Christian political party. But it's... left to center, which in America, that doesn't seem to be happening in the past 50 years, really. But the donor class does explain that well. Let's go to Reverend Jack, who is on hold. He wanted to talk about Antifa, but I think he might have a few things to say about the topic at hand.
Listen, buddy, the topic that you're on right now, I could talk for a whole show on that, man. Get started. You know, that's a big passion of mine. But I just wanted to say, when you were talking about Antifa and the how they kind of, you know, only show up in these weird, you know, right-wingers. I was thinking it'd be great if, like, maybe, like, Geraldo Rivera could go work for Fox and, like, the Hunt of Antifa. And they could have, like, he could show up and be like, you know, they were here. There's, like, take plaster casts of Doc Martin's footprints, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, and maybe there would be, like, a broken bottle, like, this may have been a Molotov cocktail, you know? And just, like, you know, like looking for Bigfoot or, you know, like, the Loch Ness Monster. Just finding, you know, this remnants of Antifa was here, and, you know.
Great, he's got a good reality show put together right there.
I know.
I hope that's a TV producer's listening.
Yep. But hey, real quick, if you got a second, I want to say, you know, my girlfriend, she was one of these ones, she grew up like, you know, she doesn't know anything about politics, but she's like, well, I'm a Republican, because that's what she was told. And she's like, there's a lot of these people who think like, well, I'm just told that the Republicans want to take your tax dollars and give them to people for welfare. You know, that's like that whole Reagan thing. And people that aren't informed, they just, you know, it's like, they just believe that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And that's part of, and the other thing I think why people vote against their own interests, because it's always baffled me, is how I think some people, like middle-class people that are working, like they want to be rich, and they think, well, you know, if you know, this trickle-down stuff, they think, well, someday I'll be rich, and then I'm going to reap the benefits of these tax things. And I'm like, you're insane. You know, you're voting how anybody who's a hardworking blue-collar person can vote for a Republican baffles my mind beyond comprehension. So I don't know. Anyways, thanks, you guys, man. I appreciate you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Jack. And I believe it was F. Scott Fitzgerald who said, in America, there are no poor people. There are just aspiring entrepreneurs. And that is really the narrative that so many have been sold, that we don't want any sort of regulation on corporations, because one day that's going to be me running the company. I'm going to be the CEO. And it's been sold and it's been eaten up, and it really is one of the dangers of our corporate media and how they've infiltrated and really just they've come eaten up all of the stations, all the media outlets, to consolidate down to six conglomerates that own the media. They are going to pass their message. They are going to push their policies. And even when you get entertainment, when you have sitcoms, movies, they will sell that message of the American dream is alive and well. If you're not accomplishing it, you're just not trying hard enough. But you can't pull yourself up by the bootstraps forever. So that's what's important about having independent media outlets like ours, having the internet, net neutrality, making sure that the corporate media doesn't overtake our new frontier of information on the internet. And it's why I try to draw a lot of light to that subject. But let's do a little giveaway. So Friday, tomorrow, we have two tickets to the Capitol Steps at the Ordway, taking place at 7 p.m. We will give them to caller 3 at 952-946-6205. And let's do the old classic. Tell us which member of the Bush administration you would prosecute for war crimes, and be caller 3 and win those pair of tickets.
We should have a challenge. It can't be Rumsfeld. Got to be someone else this time.
So we've already prosecuted Donnie Rumsfeld here on the show, so give us another member. Do you want Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, or George W. Bush himself? Call us at 952-946-6205 and be the third caller to win passes to Capitol Steps at the Ordway tomorrow evening. But we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Have you tuned in to Mission Accomplishers yet? Saturdays at 7 p.m., hosted by the fellas Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson. You don't want to miss out, so subscribe on your podcast app of choice, Apple, Google, Stitcher. We release extended editions of the show, talks, interviews that you can only find via podcast. Pull up Apple Podcasts now, type in Mission Accomplishers, subscribe, rate us, and give feedback, and we'll read your feedback on the air. Mission Accomplishers, Saturdays at 7 p.m. on AM 950.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding cleaned starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Hello, Minneapolis. This is Randy Rhodes. Did something happen? Well, it doesn't matter now, because we're back on your radio right in the heart of the Midwest every weeknight, 8 to 10 p.m.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 57, Friday sunny with a high near 80, Saturday a chance for rain with a high near 81, and Sunday partly cloudy with a high around 82. Come to the Minneapolis Farmers Market Chef Challenge coming up on Saturday, August 10th. You'll be able to see local chefs compete for the title of Master of Market, as each chef will have 20 minutes to shop the market with $50 to spend and 30 minutes to prepare their unique Farmers Market fresh dishes. Or at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
This is David the Trucker, and we're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Reparty, because that's what we do here. Celebrate all things progressive.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson here with you on a Thursday. And we have a winner to the passes for the Capitol Steps this Friday, 7 p.m. at the Ordway. John, in Minneapolis, who would you prosecute for war crimes out of the Bush administration?
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, that is a fabulous answer. The mastermind behind it, the real puppet master of that puppet administration. So congratulations, John. You are going to the show. That should be a good time. The tickets will be there at Will Call. So have fun, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. And if you need tickets, they're selling out quick. So go online, buy a pair of tickets, or as many as you need. Really bring the whole family. It's a family-friendly event. So go down, check it out tomorrow night at the Ordway. 7 p.m. I haven't been to a show like that in a long time myself. Have you, Brett?
Last show I went to, I'm trying to think. It couldn't have been Spamalot. I saw that a few years ago, but I feel like I've been to another one recently.
That's why I'm always jealous listening to Lori on Connections having she's just so in that world and that scene and just knows where all the cool events are going on. And that's always something I wanted to get into, was plays and know what to go to, but it seems like every time I try, it just doesn't work out for me.
Maybe we need an AM 950 to play. We'll get Matt McNeil to star in that.
Oh, man.
We'll get Robert Pilot in there.
Yeah, there's some characters
Ellie,
here.
Ellie maybe, yeah. We could get a good little cast put together. I have no idea what the plot would be.
Yeah, I don't know. But, man, that would be fun. I remember I went to a Broadway show with my dad. This was before I lived in New York, too. It was, I don't know if I was moving out there or just going on vacation, but my dad got us tickets to a play called Rock and Roll, because we thought it was going to be like about music, sounded cool. And we get to the play, we start watching it, and it's all about British politics and... That's not my dad's thing. And he immediately falls asleep. And he doesn't just fall asleep. He has his head kicked back in his chair and just starts snoring like... And when he got quiet, you could hear his snoring. And I don't know how we didn't get kicked out for that. But as soon as it was intermission, he basically wakes up and goes, "Let's get out of here." So that was my Broadway experience.
You got to be careful on a comedy show. They'll probably call you out on that.
Oh, yeah. They'll roast you. But hopefully you're not falling asleep at a comedy show. That is asking for some disaster. But I said there was two podcasts with 2020 candidates. And the other one I wanted to note was Russell Brand. He's the actor. I don't really know what his most famous role is. Get Him to the Greek is the movie I'm thinking of, but I know he's a big actor.
Annoying British guy is usually what he plays.
Yeah, he's got a very unique look. He looks kind of like a rock star. He's tall, British, kind of darker olive complexion, but he's been hosting a podcast for a while, and he is sober. He had a really bad addiction problem And he got sober, I don't know, probably like 10 years ago or something now. And since then, been kind of a advocate for recovery, talks about it a lot on his podcast. But his guest was Marianne Williamson. And this interview was fascinating to me, actually. I'd never listened to Russell Brand's show before, but I have been getting into Marianne Williamson lately. Just kind of, I'd hear something, be interested in it, and dive a little deeper. And I'm falling down a Marianne Williamson pipeline is really what's going on. She's intrigued me. So then I go look up more, and I find that the longer form content of Marianne Williamson has been really fascinating compared to the debate format and the 60-second answers, where she seems kind of like a weirdo. The diving in and hearing her views on the deeper problems going on in America is fascinating. And to see a politician approach from the spiritual level, and it sounds like it wouldn't go together well. Like, even as that came out of my mouth, that sounds like a recipe for disaster. But the way that the two of them, especially on this episode, got into it together, it was kind of like how my experience was when Bernie Sanders was running in 2016 and hearing a presidential candidate talk about things that I've never heard a presidential candidate talk about. It felt like living that experience again. And she really knows her stuff on policy. And though she's been a spiritual guru her entire life, she has always seen it as religion's role or spirituality to be activists of social justice. And she pointed out that really every major social justice movement and initiative throughout human history has stemmed from a religious background. Like a religious movement has really caused all of the social justice large-scale movements and developments throughout human history. And I have never really put it in that context, that faith, spirituality have had such a major component towards social justice that way, because for me, my lens growing up and most of my adult life as well, I'd always seen religion as kind of a prejudice pursuit. And it wasn't until recently that my views had changed on that, because I had always had a context of Christianity as from a right-wing perspective, that's what I thought religion was. Christianity was, and all religions, that they all fell into similar camps and that they were used kind of for negative pursuits, but in America used to put you against other groups of people. I no longer share that view, but hearing Marianne talk about why people of faith and people who pursue spirituality need to be actors of justice themselves, that they need to get involved in the fight if that is what they believe in. If the spiritual principles they're trying to practice matter to them, that you have to get out there and change things, that politics and spirituality are not divorced from each other, that they have to be combined. And it was with Russell Brand's background of being a 12-step recovery person and going through his own spiritual program, hearing the two of them talk about this, but in context of policy, it was really interesting. So that was definitely a fresh perspective for me.
I was going to say, it's worth listening to him, because even though and that probably actually matches up what I'm thinking in my head when he did these really goofy movies 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to him, he's actually a really smart guy. So I can imagine mm-hmm. that was a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah, he's got kind of that self-deprecation, so he never gives himself credit for being smart. But the topics that they were bringing up, it was just like, wow, this is a really intelligent conversation, but presented in a really digestible way that people wouldn't, it wouldn't fly over anyone's head, I don't think. That, and that's really important for trying to tackle these, like, existential problems, but then also these policy decisions. If you can't break it down to be understandable to the common person and everyone, you'll never have influence. So the ability that the two of them had was very impressive. So a good week of broadcasting in the Democratic primary, kind of some interesting things going on, and those caught my attention. But let's take a break, and then we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hello, humans. This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio, and you are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
Back in January 2018, the tax laws changed. You probably won't get a tax deduction for donating your vehicle to Auto Technical or any nonprofit, and it's going to put us out of business. Over the past 30 years, our charitable mission has been reconditioning vehicles for thousands of families. Many vehicles are reconditioned and sold to the public. We are self-supporting, but donations have dropped by more than 80%. We can hold on until November, December, but without your help, we'll be forced to close the doors. The Tubman Shelter Workforce Training Center will no longer be able to refer clients to us for free cars. Please, please help us. Call me if you have a vehicle to donate. Richard@autotech.org, 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. Autotechnical.org.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333. Woo, woo, woo.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes, Brett Johnson, here with you on a Thursday afternoon. A beautiful day, sunny, hot, warm, and it's been a summer that's really just flown by. We're in August already. Man, where did it go?
I think today and tomorrow are going to be the two best days of summer.
Really?
No humidity, sunny, no wind.
Yeah, you're right. Today, I didn't know that that was what was going on, but it is much more pleasant. It must be that humidity. So, fabulous summer. It's been a hot one, but today, tomorrow, enjoy. In Minneapolis, we have a new ruling, and me and Brett aren't quite sure what to think of it. There will no longer be drive-thrus built in Minneapolis. No longer new drive-thrus for fast food, banks, or any sort of business. And this is, Brett, to cut back on pollution, correct?
Pollution, noise, and making it safer for pedestrians were the reasons cited by the city council. Voted unanimously in favor of this, actually.
And I suppose those are noble reasons, good causes. But is it necessary? Is it contributing that much benefit to make a decision like this? The convenience of drive-thrus in a cold climate like Minnesota, that is important because
especially a bank.
You have seniors who might not be able to get out and walk in very cold temperatures. Drive-thrus have a function, and I don't know if a overarching ruling like this is a good thing, but unanimous. So, I guess that's the way it'll go. But I have had a couple problems with Minneapolis City Council and their rulings. Specifically, what comes to mind is the ban of menthol cigarettes. Good intentions again, but ultimately, all it was a racist ban. It was saying that black people can't make the right decision to buy the healthier alternative, so we're going to ban it here. And they literally used race in their justification for going through with it. But to have like rural communities that where you can just buy menthol cigarettes anywhere in Minneapolis, you have to go to tobacco stores specifically. And that is ridiculous. I don't like when you have the local government protecting you from yourself. Those policies I never get along with. But,
you sound like a conservative at the end of the show.
I do have that view, and I always have. I do not like laws that protect you from yourself. And we can get into that on a deeper level on another show. But that's it for today. We will see you tomorrow afternoon on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.